unique and wonderful Sundays in the church here, something that happened exactly a week after Christ rose from the dead. We have our encounter with doubting Thomas, unbelieving Thomas, whatever you want to call it. But we have an opportunity to look at doubt and faith and assurance. And the answer is always Jesus crucified and risen for you. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn and our sermon hymn, 470, heard it in the prelude. O sons and daughters of the King, we'll sing the first five verses to get us started, and then we'll sing the rest of the verses for our hymn of the day. The service is Divine Service Setting 1, page 151 and following. We have a special insert for the day. The readings are on one side, propers are on the other. We'll make sure we're on the right page at the right time. And as we began last week, the fast is over. Alleluia's hymn of praise. The whole kit and caboodle is here for us till next year in Lent. So before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy of this season, basking in the glow of the resurrection of your Son, our Lord and Savior from the dead. Heavenly Father, we live in a world of sin. We live in a world of death, and that shroud of sin and death covers over us all the time. Heavenly Father, fix our eyes on Jesus, who is victorious over sin, death, the grave, and everything that plagues us. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hymn 470, verses 1 through 5.
Divine Service Setting 1, page 151. Page 151. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most
merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We sing together the introit appointed for the day. From above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. This holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Pray. Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Continue with the readings. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Easter is from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me among them, and behold, they were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. He said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 1 John chapter 5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that He has borne concerning His Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe in God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning His Son. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We sing hymn 470, verses 6 through 9. Please be seated.
And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning, this second Sunday of Easter, is the Old Testament lesson read a few moments ago, from the 37th chapter of the prophet Ezekiel. Dear friends in Christ, your God is the God who raises the dead. Your God is the God who raises the dead. God's answer to all of your problems, to every single one of your enemies, is resurrection. God's answer is Easter. That is His proper work, the work He delights to do. And it comes after He has done His alien, His strange work, the work that He must do because of our sin. He spoke through Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. Your God is the God who raises the dead, but only after he has put to death. He does the work he delights in only after he does that work that he must. He must kill to make alive. He must wound in order to heal. Both actions are done in love, but one is a terrible, painful love, necessary because of our sin, while the other is joyful. The other is a healing love. The prophet Hosea says, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him." This is your God, dear friends. This is your God who kills in order to make alive, who tears in order to heal, who strikes down in order to bind up. He put his son to death. He put Jesus into the grave. God Almighty did his alien work that he must. When he ordered all things in all of human history so that his son, his only son, Jesus, whom he loved, would be nailed to the tree. He must do that work because of our sin. He must do that work because we rebelled against him, trying to become our own gods. In terrible, painful love, he laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all, and he turned away from him upon the cross his love, his care, his compassion. He put Jesus into the tomb. A strange love, a dreadful love. The Roman soldiers were the instruments of his death. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus laid him in the tomb. But make no mistake, it was God himself doing the work. His alien, his strange work. The work made necessary because of our sin. God himself put Jesus in the tomb. But Hosea has a word of encouragement for Jesus, for God's Son. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will rise us up that we may live before him. Your God is the God who kills in order to make alive. He puts Jesus to death in order to raise him up. He tears him in order to heal. He strikes him down in order to bind him up. On the third day, your God raised Jesus from the grave. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. God has done his strange work, his alien work upon Jesus. Now he does his proper work, the work he delights in. For your God is the God who raises the dead. His answer to the death of Jesus for the sin of the world is resurrection. His answer to the death of Jesus in your place is resurrection, is Easter. His answer to his son lying in the grave is to open that grave so that it would never be shut on him ever again. You see, God's answer to sin and rebellion is always resurrection. It's always Easter. Christ's resurrection and yours. Your God is the God who kills in order to make alive. His answer to your sin is to put you to death, to put you in the grave, to do his strange alien work upon you. It is a strange love, a terrible love, that puts you to death with Christ, that preaches the law which puts your sinful nature to death, which kills. It is a strange, terrible love that plunges you into a watery grave. St. Paul asks, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Your baptism into Christ is a baptism into death. It is God's strange work, his killing, wounding, tearing work. And every day after, when he preaches the law to you, he is continually killing you, putting your sinful nature into the grave in contrition and repentance, putting that old Adam to death. It is a strange work, a dreadful work, a painful work, a work that we do not easily endure. It hurts. We suffer this alien work of God upon us because death hurts. And we do not want to die. Our sinful nature doesn't want to die. But he wounds that he may heal. He kills that he may make alive. St. Paul continues, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. In the font, we are put to death. Yes, by the very drowning of God himself. But then we are raised to life. We come forth from our watery grave as Jesus came forth from his grave. For the God who put us to death through his law is the God who makes us alive through his gospel. He kills so that he may make alive. He wounds so that he may heal. Dear friends, there is no other way to a resurrection than through a death. Your death. You cannot live unless you die. You must die before you die, or else your death delivers you to hell. God kills because he must. He makes you alive because that is the work he delights in. God's answer to your death is always resurrection. His answer to your death at the font is resurrection. God's answer to your daily death under his law is resurrection, is Easter. Your God, dear friends, is the God who raises the dead, who brings forth from the grave. His answer is always resurrection. It's always Easter. His answer to your sin, to your suffering, to your affliction. The people of Israel languished in exile. God had put them to death, figuratively speaking, by removing them from their land, the promised land. They felt the burden of the law, his strange work, his alien work. They felt that their dwelling in Babylon was dwelling in the tomb. They despaired. They cried out to God, and God quotes them in our text. Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Whether suffering comes into our life because we've sinned, or whether suffering comes into our life because someone has sinned against us, or maybe we simply suffer because we live in a sinful, dying world, God uses suffering to do his alien work, to put us to death that he may make us alive, to wound us that he may heal. Dear friends, God uses suffering to destroy our idols, and we have plenty of them. He uses suffering to put our pride to death, to teach us to know that we are sinful people in a sinful world. He puts us in the grave so that we would cry out to him for help, so that we would know that there is no one else who can save. For your God is the God, the only God, who raises the dead. Your God answers suffering with resurrection, with Easter. He kills that he may make alive. He wounds so that he may heal. Having presented to the prophet's eyes this marvelous, vivid picture of resurrection, God gives Ezekiel a message to speak to his beleaguered, his entombed, his dead people. Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you to the land of Israel. Their suffering will end. He will raise them up out of exile and restore them to their own land. They have been put into the grave by the judgment of God, but that same God will raise them up. Their hope seemed dead, as dried up as those bones. But their God is the God of resurrection. His answer to our suffering is always Easter. His answer is always resurrection. It was God's penalty for our sin and rebellion that put us in the grave, that made the grave both figuratively and literally our destination. It was God's penalty for our sin and rebellion that introduced suffering into our world. We earned the penalty, and God imposed it. He put us to death in his justice, his righteousness. His alien, his strange work was necessary because of our sin, or else he would not be a God of justice. Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. These bones are you. These bones are me. Dried up, scattered, dead. Can these bones live? Oh Lord God, you know. Ezekiel, prophet though he is, doesn't know. Looking with mere human eyes, it's impossible. The answer is clearly no. That's what we think all too often when we stand around a graveside, when we suffer in any way, when we see death coming for us. These bones cannot live. My suffering is too overwhelming. My situation too dire. Death is too powerful. My bones, they're dry. My hope is dried up with them. But God sends us a messenger. A messenger with a word, a proclamation, a message of hope, a message of Easter. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. The God who kills promises to make alive. He who must do his alien, his strange work, will delight to do his proper work. His answer to Christ's death was resurrection, Easter. His answer to your death is resurrection, it's Easter. You shall live. Your suffering will end. Your struggles will cease. Death will not conquer you, though your bones be dried up and scattered. You shall live. You shall live as Christ lives, never to die again. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Dear friends, you have died and risen again in the font. That was your most important death, the death that mattered. Now the grave has no power over you. Death cannot seize you. God's Spirit has been put within you, and you shall live in your own land. As the exiled people of Israel were raised from their figurative graves in Babylon and returned to the promised land, so you, along with all believers, all who have God's Spirit within them, will be raised from your literal graves and will live in the promised land forever. There, God's alien work, his strange work, will cease. It will be done, no longer needed. There will be no more putting to death, either by the law, killing our sinful nature, suffering, destroying our idols, or literal death as the penalty for sin. There will be no more death there. For there you will know your God as the God of resurrection. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. God's answer to our sin, our suffering, our death is resurrection. Christ's resurrection, your resurrection. God's answer is always Easter. The raising of Jesus is the beginning of God's proper work, a work that he will continue to do until the end of time, that he promises to do. For dear friends, that is the God you have. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Having heard the word of our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, we confess our common Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We stand. I believe in one God,
Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and all Yeah.
Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Almighty God, you brought us up out of Egypt, the Egypt of hell, and into the Zion of Christ Church through the Red Sea of the baptismal font. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that as we continue to wend our way through the wilderness of this sinful world, we would long for the pure spiritual milk of your word and receive the sustenance we need until we are brought to the promised land, the life of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious God, your Son appeared to his disciples in his resurrected flesh to ordain them and to send them out into all the world, that repentance and the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name. Continue to raise up for us faithful men to serve in the office of the holy ministry and bless their service among us, your people, who, along with St. Thomas, confess Jesus as their Lord and God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, you sent your Son to proclaim liberty to the captives, and you delivered the apostles from imprisonment according to your will. Remember those who are imprisoned or held captive, whether justly or unjustly. Deliver them according to your wisdom and mercy, and grant that they might hear your word and rejoice with penitent hearts that they are set free from sin, death, and the devil. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful God, remember those who have wandered from the household of faith. Faithful to your promises, work all things in their lives to remind them of their need for your unending grace and steadfast love, that they might return to the faith and rejoice in your Son, who has died and is risen for them. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious God, look with mercy upon all those who suffer in this vale of tears. Provide them with loving and compassionate care, and comfort them with the reminder that everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and that believing in Jesus, they have life in his name. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Loving God, as your risen Son visited his disciples on the eighth day of the resurrection, so he visits us here in his holy church when we are gathered together in his name. Bless those who come to receive him at his holy altar this day. Open their mouths that they would be filled with the sweet honey of Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of their sins. Preserve them in the faith that they might, together with all the saints who have gone before them, be raised to life forever in Christ's kingdom, which has no end. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated. Again, welcome in the name of our resurrected Jesus. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or the internet. We pray that the good news of Christ risen for you, even in the midst of difficulty and suffering, would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
Thank you.
offertory now on page 159, What Shall I Render to the Lord? Please stand as you're able. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving
and will call the name of the Lord. I will sing of the salvation and will call the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem.
The Lord be with you. Give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death. And by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Thomas, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of high and high,
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and in the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Savior Jesus, strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Post-communion canticle, Thank the Lord, page 164. We stand.
Thank the Lord and sing his praise.
Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please remain standing for our closing hymn, 488. coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. One opportunity for Bible study today. We continue our look at the formula of concord, and we're looking at this whole notion of things that aren't supposed to matter, adiaphora. And we pray that God would richly bless us. Most of the fighting in the church goes on in this category of adiaphora, so please join us for that. We'll have our Sunday school opening in here in about 7 or 8 minutes. Vicar continues to get incrementally better, at least health-wise, and we pray that he preached on Wednesday night and did an outstanding job. But no, it's good to see him smiling, and now we can tease him a lot and don't have to feel quite so guilty about it. But he still needs to be a little cautious with regard to colds and flus and all that stuff, so you won't be seeing him shaking hands anytime in the next couple of weeks. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. The activities and events in the days and weeks ahead are listed there. Pastor.